was coming to that.
Letters. There was no end to them. They filled every room of the building and spilled out into the corridors. It was technically true that the postmaster's office was unusable because of the state of the floor. It was 12 feet deep in letters. Whole corridors were blocked off with them. Cupboards had been stuffed full of them. To open a door incautiously was to be buried in an avalanche of yellowing envelopes. Floorboards bulged suspiciously upwards. Through cracks in the sagging ceiling plaster, paper protruded. The sorting room, almost as big as the main hall, had drifts reaching to 20 feet in places. Here and there, filing cabinets rose out of the paper sea like icebergs. After half an hour of exploration, Moist wanted a bath. It was like walking through desert tombs. He felt he was choking on the smell of old paper. He felt as though his throat was filled with yellow dust. "I was told I had an apartment here," he croaked. "Yes, sir," said Groat. "Me and the lad had a look for it the other day. I heard that it was on the other side of your office, so the lad went in on the end of a rope, sir. He said he felt a door, sir, but he'd sunk 6 feet under the mail by then, and he was suffering, sir, suffering, so I pulled him out." "The whole place is full of undelivered mail." They were back in the locker room. Groat had topped up the black kettle from a pan of water, and it was steaming. At the far end of the room, sitting at a neat little table by the stove, Stanley was counting his pins. "Pretty much, sir, except in the basements and the stables," said the old man, washing a couple of tin mugs in a bowl of not very clean water.
"You mean even the post...
My office is full of old mail, but they never filled the basements. Where's the sense in that?"
"Oh, you couldn't use the basement, sir. Oh, no, not the basements," said Groat, looking shocked. "It's far too damp down there. The letters would be destroyed in no time."
"Destroyed," said Moist, flatly.
"Nothing like damp for destroying things, sir," said Groat, nodding sagely.
"Destroying mail from dead people to dead people," said Moist, in the same flat voice.
"We don't know that, sir," said the old man. "I mean, we've got no actual proof."
"Well, no. After all, some of those envelopes are only 100 years old, said Moist. He had a headache from the dust and a sore throat from the dryness, and there was something about the old man that was grating on his raw nerves. He was keeping something back.
"That's no time at all to some people. I bet the zombie and vampire population are still waiting by the letterbox every day, right?"
"No need to be like that, sir," said Groat, levelly.
"No need to be like that. You can't destroy the mails. You just can't do it, sir. That's tampering with the mail, sir. That's not just a crime, sir. That's a
sin," said Moist.
"Oh, worse than a sin," said Groat, almost sneering. "For sins, you're only in trouble with a god. But in my day, if you interfered with the mail, you'd be up against Chief Postal Inspector Rumbelow. Ha! And there's a big difference. Gods forgive."
Moist searched for sanity in the wrinkled face opposite him. The unkempt beard was streaked with different colours, either of dirt, tea, or random celestial pigment. Like some hermit, he thought. Only a hermit would wear a wig like that.
"Sorry," he said.
"And you mean that shoving someone's letter under the floorboards for 100 years isn't tampering with it?"
Groat suddenly looked wretched. The beard quivered. Then he started to cough, great hacking, wooden, crackling lumps of cough that made the jars shake and caused a yellow mist to rise from his trouser bottoms.
"Excuse me a moment, sir,"
he wheezed between hacks and fumbled in his pocket for a scratched and battered tin.
"You suck at all, sir,"
he said, tears rolling down his cheeks. He proffered the tin to Moist.
"They're number 3, sir, very mild. I make 'em myself, sir. Natural remedies from natural ingredients. That's my style, sir. Got to keep the tubes clear, sir, otherwise they turn against you."
Moist took a large violet lozenge from the box and sniffed it. It smelt faintly of aniseed.
"Thank you, Mr. Groat," he said. But in case this counted as an attempt at bribery, he added sternly, "The mail, Mr. Groat?
Sticking undelivered mail wherever there's a space isn't tampering with it?"
"That's more delaying the mail, sir. Just slowing it down a bit. It's not like there's any intention of never delivering it, sir."
Moist stared at Groat's worried expression. He felt that sense of shifting ground you experience when you realise that you're dealing with someone whose world is connected with your own only by their fingertips. Not a hermit, he thought, but more like a shipwrecked mariner living in this dry desert island of a building while the